Welcome to Marketing 25 of 10 Principles of Marketing. I am Dr. Marks. This is Lecture 1. It's August 29th, and presently we'll be taking notes. I am delighted. You can't imagine how delighted I am to see you people with actual faces after 2.5 years of either talking to a computer screen or talking to you like this because I can't stand your face. I'm glad to see you guys, too, but it's not quite the same thing as seeing these people. What a time to be studying business, marketing, thinking about starting a business, etc. I used to think, as I was teaching marketing over the years, wow, we're in a recession. That should be interesting to talk to students about, the recession. And then we were in a recession and coming out of recession, and then we're in a pandemic. Ooh, recession and pandemic. Okay, that's a couple things going on. Now, as you know, we're in, I don't know, full employment, but the stock market is dropping, but company profits are good, except we're going to talk about one that's not. With still a recession, a pandemic going on, with a new pandemic coming, with a war going on that's affecting supply chain issues on top of the supply. What a time to be involved in studying what businesses and marketers have to deal with. So this is quite a, we'll talk later on about managing in a time of white, anybody do kayaking, kayakers? White water rapids where you're being pushed along, floated along, got to be careful you're not tipping. This is that time for business. My clicker's not working, so I'm going to walk over here. So these are the housekeeping slides at the beginning of every class. I'll have housekeeping slides. I will post the housekeeping slides up. Oh, it is working. Up on the Canvas website. Who has not been on Canvas for my class? Anybody not been there? Okay, so if you go there, you'll see in modules, you'll see among other things housekeeping. That'll be this set of slides. So our last time I checked our enrollment, it was 216 people here, maybe a little more, and 357 web students. Hi. So about 573 students on the web. I do try to deal with you individually as quickly as I can when you send me email, but there's also 572 more of you. So if you don't hear back from me quickly, then let me know I haven't done that. You know about the flashes at Safe 8. Wash your hands, monitor your health. In fact, one of my students just wrote me, said he was exposed to COVID. He won't be in class today. I said, thank you. Please don't come to class today. You can pick it up on the web. If you're going to wear a well-fitted mask, if masks are recommended, they're not now, wear a well-fitted one. And if you want to wear a mask now, please wear a mask. Fine. No, we're an equal mask opportunity classroom. Clean and sanitize. If you have questions, reach out to University Health Services. Flashes, take care of flashes. What's important? Well, you should have noticed that fall classes began on Thursday, August 25th. Have you heard we're going to change the calendar? We're actually going to go back to starting classes on Monday next year. It's a whole new thing. Start classes on a Monday. So week one is actually week one a year from now. Anyhow, next Monday, we won't be here because we'll be have Labor Day off. Fall break is on those dates. Veterans Day on Friday. We won't have, it won't affect us because we don't have class then. Thanksgiving break, Columbus break, and when classes end, and finals week. So those are some good dates. So the information coming up is business in the news, marketing in the news. These slides are testable. What I show you prior to this, announcements, where we stand, schedule, not testable. This is testable. You want to take notes. It looks like I didn't update from the word Blackboard there. Also posted on the Canvas website in the housekeeping slides module. I don't include these questions on the midterms of the final, but they are on the weekly test, so they are testable. Take notes. So what are some tips? And on business marketing the news slides, I try to bold the key points because there's a lot of information. You might want to take notes on the bullet points. Then I try to test on the key points, the bullet points, including the headline of the slide. Take notes on the key points. If you miss them, the slides are posted in housekeeping slides folder on Canvas. For those who want more information, I always try to provide the source of the items. If you find it sort of interesting, you should be able to possibly access it as well. So get ready to take notes if you're interested in this part of the class. Targets. How many guys shop at Target? You? Targets, profits, did you hear this? Sank in the last quarter. Their net earnings fell 90%. That's a big loss for a major company, right? So the profit sinks as the retailer unloads unwanted inventory. A glut of inventory sank. Profit at Target Corp further than it expected, 90%, sparking investor concerns about the company's response to an oversupply problem haunting retailers from Walmart to the parent of TJ Maxx. So here's the importance of the product mix that you have to your profits. Target's net earnings fell 90%. Operating margin declined to 1.2%. You're not making a lot of money on all those people invested in your company at 1.2%. At least you didn't lose money. Like many other retailers, Target didn't foresee the sharp reversal in buying behavior that's taken place in recent months as shoppers, squeezed by inflation, shifted more spending to travel and cut back on things like patio furniture, small electronics, and other items that were in high demand for a lot of the COVID-19 pandemic. Walmart, like Target, had discounted goods to pare excess inventory. So here we see the importance and the difficulty as a business, as a marketer, of understanding and forecasting consumer behavior. It's just not that easy to do. I will say a lot of times, well, just go study the market, look at the data. But that's real easy for me to say and hard for a business to go do. And the impact of economic forces on business and marketing. We have a lot of stuff outside our control as managers, as business people, environmental factors that slam us, that impact us. We have to be aware of them, like economic forces, like a recession, and think about what they mean for our business. Target took a more aggressive approach than some of its competitors, slashing prices and canceling orders to clear out the glut of incoming inventory as quickly as possible. Target chief executive Brian Cornell said he didn't want to deal with excess inventory for years to come, potentially degrading the consumer and the worker experience. We're going to talk in a little bit, maybe next time, about us marketing in a world of customer experience, not just getting products to consumers, but their experience during the process of getting their purchase. So price in the marketing mix, consumer retail experience is what's being talked about there. Large retail chains, including Walmart and Home Depot, have reported higher sales from the most recent quarter, driven by consumers' willingness to absorb price increases. So research practice is showing consumers so far don't like inflation, but they're still willing to pay inflated prices, although maybe not in the existing category they've been spending money on. Maybe they're shifting what they're paying for. The result so far indicates Americans should spend, even as they shift purchases away from non-food items to offset the effects of inflation. So how many of you guys remember from micro econ talking about the price of elasticity of demand? Does that ring a bell? Price elasticity, okay. Are you an econ major by any chance that you actually remember that? So this is the idea of the price elasticity of demand writ large given the inflation. We're shifting that, in essence, that income stream. Changing demand curve and business. So there's our micro econ at work. How many of you guys have felt hit by inflation personally, yourselves? How many people, I'm not really noticing that much. How many people can't hear me because there's only half the class raising their hands? What's the other choice? Hit by inflation? Not especially hit by inflation. Okay, well, more hit than not hit, but still, some people aren't feeling it, just like we have in the marketplace. Some people are hit differently than others. From toilet paper to candy bars, companies hide rising costs by shrinking the size of everyday products. Have you noticed that in some cases you go to the shelf, the cost is the same as it has been, but the product size has shrunk down? Anybody notice that? Okay, that's this. Prices of consumer goods are increasing at the fastest rate in 40 years. Inflation. The term shrinkflation describes brands selling smaller amounts of product for the same price as before. Is this a sneaky way for brands to hide growing prices? I often talk to my wife about these issues. She's a arts major. Arts and sciences major, not a business major. So it's an interesting conversation about how to feel about these things. So how many people think you're not raising the price, you're keeping the price where it was, but you're shrinking the product packaging? That's cheating. That's sneaky. How many people feel that way? My wife definitely did. How many people say it's business practice? We can either raise prices or we can reduce the package size. How many people feel that way? About half and half. Web students, I don't know what you're thinking. So there are different views, as we'll find throughout marketing, on what we're talking about. What's the right way to approach the problem? So ingredients and manufacturing are getting more expensive amid soaring inflation. So it hits you, it hits business. And usually it results in two things, higher prices or smaller size products. So here again is the impact of economic factors on business, on marketing. Pricing and packaging in the marketing mix being affected. Consumer food prices have jumped almost 11% over the past year, the biggest 12-month increase since 79. Margarine, coffee, soup, and eggs are among the worst hit food items, according to the data. Egg prices have increased by nearly 40%. Some companies, though, don't want to hike prices. because it may deter shoppers. My comment is, well, duh. Yeah. Instead, they're maintaining a similar price point by subtly making their product smaller. This includes making candy bars sold in multi-packs smaller than the ones being sold individually, or changing the shape of their products so you can barely notice the difference in weight. They don't lie about it, though. It's printed on the package. It's not like they don't tell you it's a smaller amount. You do have to pay attention. But customers are starting to notice. This phenomenon known as shrinkflation was already happening before the coronavirus pandemic. But it's set to get worse as inflation persists, pushing up how much manufacturers and retailers pay for both raw materials and labor. If you're in business, costs have to impact something, yes? We're my accountants. No one's an accountant. Costs have to come into the equation, yeah? So if costs go up and you don't do anything, I assume eventually you're out of business. You're not making any profit. You have to do something. So costs have to impact something, no? TikTok users have been posting about the trend, encouraging shoppers to look more closely at the weights of what they buy, make sure they're still getting value for the money. Some of the videos are getting hundreds of thousands of views. So here's the impact of social media and the importance of consumer value. So of course I think you should be aware of what you're buying. Of course I think you should look at the price and be aware of whether or not you're getting more. But I'm not too sure I think it's sneaky. My wife would disagree with along with half the class here. So a few examples. Frito-Lay shrank bags of some of its Doritos from 9.75 ounces to 9.25 ounces. By the way, I could use that shrinkage. Thank you. We took just a little bit out of the bag so we can give you the same price and you can keep enjoying your chips, says a Frito-Lay spokesperson. Gatorade redesigned its 32-ounce bottle to be more aerodynamic and it's easier to grab, but the new design holds 28 ounces, a 14% drop, even though both bottles that you see over there are the same height. A two-pack of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups used to weigh 1.6 ounces. Now it's just 1.5 ounces. Oh, no. So what should we do? Same topic, another author says. Consumers are far more likely to note a price hike than a volume decrease, especially with products they often buy, says Jeff Inman over at Pitt. Who's from Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh, yeah. So this is over at Pitt. Though both actions result in lower product sales for the company, a price increase has four times the negative impact on consumer behavior than comparable volume decreases would. That's huge. So Jeff says, I really think it comes down to people just not noticing. Well, okay, but we're understanding consumer and their behavior here. To cut through the noise, consumer's best friend is the per unit price. You know, they show you the full price at the retail store on groceries, and then often under that, they show you the per unit cost. Yeah? So you can compare things on the shelf and see how much you're getting per unit, whatever it is. The smaller number underneath or beside the total price, usually expressed in dollars per pound or ounce, there's no room to hide with the unit price. If the package is shrunk, the per unit price will rise, even if its total price stays constant, making it a reliable metric for tracking down changes. So Inman says, look, consumers, take your blinders off at the grocery store. Be thoughtful about your purchases now that we have an inflation. So the next time you shop, consider taking note of those per unit prices, and perhaps you'll think twice before making that impulse buy and then later on saying, those damn marketers, look what they did to me. No, just pay attention and see what you're doing. Finally, something a little more fun, since these first two weren't that much fun. Video gamers, Fortniters. Nobody's Fortniting. I lost a bunch of time to Fortnite. I guess it must be wrong. Never mind. State Farm, of all people, sponsors iHeartMedia's persistent metaverse space in Fortnite. Customer demand has surged since live venues reopened after the pandemic, but publishers and brands clearly still see value in staging performances virtually on gaming platforms, an idea that first took hold earlier in the pandemic. With iHeartLand, iHeartMedia is rolling the dice that consumers will be eager to log in for a full year of programming on Fortnite, even though there's no shortage of in-person shows to attend. So here's the importance of, if you will, the metaverse, still interpreting what the metaverse is, and social media and gaming to marketers. Their island is designed to be dynamic, undergoing periodic changes, and cycling through a variety of mini-games to keep people entertained. So we're getting consumers involved in the site, in the metaverse, in our brand. iHeartMedia looks to make a splash by bringing in Charlie, how do you say that? Hoth? Pooth? Pooth. Pooth, thank you. Charlie Pooth to promote the drop of his new album, Charlie, on October 7th. Along with premiering fresh material, Pooth will host an interactive game testing fans' knowledge of his work. So again, we're getting consumer involvement. as you get the point, a bit of advertising on YouTube for the event itself. So consumer involvement. For State Farm, the sponsorship opens a path to reaching new consumers who might not quite yet be in the market for insurance, along with providing an avenue to experiment with ways to bridge the physical and digital tactics that they have. The marketer has previously tried its hand at similar ideas. Jake from State Farm, a khaki-wearing brand character who frequently pops up in commercials, was integrated into an open-world gameplay mode of NBA 2K22. So here's brand sponsorship and reaching a target market segment. And I didn't include the source there, bad boy. All right, so that's the idea of business in the news, marketing in the news, and hopefully over time you're going to look at these things and say, damn, I know what he's talking about. Yes, that's a concept we saw, and then you do it on your own. You see something, and it comes to you. All right, so now we're going to move to lecture notes, page 9, if you got the lecture notes. And depending how long I talk, we may get into chapter 1 of the textbook. Let's see what happens. All right, so we should be on lecture notes, page 9, with any luck. So what we're going to do for the much of the remainder of the course is to get into the details, nuts and bolts of the syllabus, the foundation for what we're doing together. There's a lot to it, and then at the final part of this, hopefully we'll get into some actual content for the day. So it's a brief overview of the syllabus, and from Canvas, you ought to really pay attention to it because there's a lot of pieces and parts going on. Pages 4 to 9 of the lecture notes show the schedule of classes. Anybody have the lecture? Anybody actually get the lecture notes bound already? Purchased it? Yeah? No? So this is what the purchased lecture note packet looks like, not just the slides. And you'll also find these scheduled classes in Canvas in the module called About the Course Testing Material. We begin on page 9. So I am Dr. Lawrence J. Marks. You can call me Dr. Marks, Mr. Marks, Sir, Lawrence, Larry, hey, you, and you can call me anything you want outside the classroom when I can't hear you, and I think people do that. You can reach me, Al Marks, at kent.edu. Please write me from your KSU email address, not from your hot boy, hot girl account, because I don't know it's you. My office is 516 BSA, and my phone is 306-721-266. The point of this is you can never tell me you couldn't reach me. You could reach me. You may have chosen not to reach me, but you could always reach me. All right, so there we are across the street. And there's my office 516 in the college business. And here we are over in Bowman Hall for the visual learners. Or if you prefer the Google Maps view, same idea, here we are. All right, office hours right after class, 5:15 to 6 p.m. Monday, Wednesday in my office and online by appointment. I'm always available. This is my real job. This is what I do. So if you want to Zoom me, if you want to Teams me, if you want to chat me, let me know. Or stop over after class. The book, quote required. 15th edition of Kieran and Hartley, 2021. If you stay with FlashBooks, the $86 charge on your Bursar's account, which the whole class is signed up for, you get the electronic version of this book, the e-text, and you get access to what we use for one version of the extra credit. Because you can't use the electronic version during the midterms and final, you'll also want the physical copy, the hard copy, the Kent State loose leaf edition of the book. At least that's my recommendation. It's available after the ad drop, or after the opt-out date for FlashBooks, which is this coming Wednesday. And they take a couple days to make it available. How many people went over and they said there's no book for the course? Have you had that happen yet? Yeah, there's a book. There's a book. It's just not ready yet. And so there we go. If you purchase a version of the textbook that doesn't come packaged with Connect Plus, you can choose to purchase access to that site, which would be silly because it costs more money, but you do what you want to do, for $144 from McGraw-Hill. It's always going to be a better value to stay with FlashBooks if that's what you're going to do anyhow. I don't know if you're going to do better or as well with some other edition of the textbooks. I do write my test specifically based on the 15th edition. That's why it's a required text. But if your choice is buy a 14th edition for $5 or nothing, buy the 14th edition. Don't try to take the course without a book, assuming you care about your grade and about learning, yeah? Get something, preferably this thing. If you want to find the book online, see the Start Here module. about FlashBooks for Marketing 25.10, what you get with it, how to opt out, and how to get the book elsewhere. So there's some hints about how to go about getting it elsewhere if you want to do that. Your choice, your grade, your adults. McGraw-Hill Connect comes with FlashBooks. It's a web-based assignment and assessment site. I use it for optional enhanced learning extra credit assignments. I call them ELECs. And this is included with the required book. Sometimes people say, why do I have to pay for extra credit? It's included if you buy the required book. Don't beat me up. I mean, don't get the book, then you don't get the extra credit. But get the book, it comes with it. It's included. Now, some people say they don't want to buy the book. They don't want to stay with FlashBooks. Why can't they get extra credit? Well, they could. One way to do it would be pay $141 from McGraw-Hill for access to Connect. That seems pretty silly. So another way you can get extra credit if you don't want to stay with FlashBooks. You want to go get the 14th edition for $7 somewhere. I'll also allow you to earn extra credit with PackBack. PackBack is a web-based question and answer site. We use it for another way to get optional extra credit. It's about $30 for the semester. Students can either earn extra credit for doing Connect, enhanced learning extra credits, or doing PackBack. If you want more about that, look at the extra credit folder on the Canvas website. It's a module out there, so your choice how to attack the problem. Lecture notes, that's what I just told up a little bit, available as a free download from the class website on Canvas in the learning materials module. It's available prepackaged and nicely spiral bound from the campus bookstore. They're charging $33 for that. It's available now, I assume. Anybody know if it's actually available or not? I think it is. The lecture notes, anybody know? Yeah, they are. They are. Thank you. So they're actually available out there now. So, as you'll see, I think I say it again later on. This is recommended by students who've had the course before. I don't make any money on this. I don't care. You should care because you see how fast I talk? That's how fast I lecture. Taking notes is impossible. Somebody said a bunch of years ago, how about providing us with lecture notes? Boom, there they are. All right, if you haven't had microecon, successfully passed microecon, and we find out about you, I'm not looking, but the system is, they'll boot you out of the course because it's a prereq for the course. I don't write the rules. I just subscribe to the rules. It's not my fault. So if you haven't had micro, you shouldn't have been able to get in the course, but they'll boot you out if they find you. What are we trying to do here? At the end of the course, with any luck, you have a working knowledge of marketing, terminology, concepts, activities, and strategies. Why should I have to do that? I don't care about marketing. I'm never going to be a marketer. I'm going to be a fill-in-the-blanker. You're still going to be in business. And whether you're going into a not-for-profit business or a fashion business or a construction business or a sports business, I guarantee you, somebody's got to be marketing you to the public. So while you're not doing it, the success of your firm depends on what these people over there are doing. It might be nice to know from a business viewpoint what they're doing, what they're talking about. Periodically, I'll pop up an image like that to indicate we're talking about one of the objectives of the course, terminology, concepts, etc. We'll also have an understanding of the marketing functions within the organization and in the context of the external environment. Most of what you do, most of your jobs, if you're not marketing types, mostly will be centered in the firm, in the organization. Who's looking outside the firm for what's going on with inflation, what consumer trends are, what's going to happen with other businesses? Marketing types. So we're going to see what goes on outside. That's the marketing functions icon. Knowledge of the ways in which marketing contributes to the attainment of the organization's objectives and goals. I think what they do is pretty important. Maybe after 15 weeks you'll agree. So there's the goals icon. And an appreciation for the global and ethical aspects of marketing. No chuckling when I say ethical. There are ethical businesses out there, just as there are unethical businesses. All right, so that's that icon. So that's what we're trying to accomplish during our 15 weeks together. Hopefully we'll get through some of that. Students attending the course who don't have the proper prereq, risk being deregistered, it's your responsibility to ensure you're properly enrolled in the class. You can add drop until 11:59 on Wednesday. Why do I bring that up? Sometimes people will sit through an entire course, take the grades, the prof should have caught them, but okay. Then say, I know I didn't have the prereq, I know I didn't register for the course, I didn't pay for it yet, but I passed the material, you have to give me the grade. No, I don't. You shouldn't have been in the course. It's your responsibility to be sure you're in the course. Course withdrawal deadline is 11:59 p.m. on Wednesday, November 2nd. You can withdraw from a class between September 7th and November 2nd, but in that time period, you'll get a W for the course. So before before the initial time period, you can simply drop the course, and nothing shows up, then you get a W, then you get a grade. Academic honesty, cheating means you misrepresent the source, nature, or conditions of your academic work, tests, papers, projects, assignments, so as to get undeserved credit. I despise business people who cheat, politicians who cheat, humans who cheat, students who cheat. Do not cheat in my course. If you cheat, be really, really good at it. Because I'm looking for you, because you're cheating yourself of the knowledge, you're cheating other students in the classroom of their grade curve, and you're disrespecting me, my course, and my material, playing me for an idiot. So be really good so I don't feel like an idiot, or suffer the consequences. I kid you not. And it always makes me feel bad. It does. I cry to my wife about it. But I will get you. So, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal in the classroom, in your personal life, in business. Why do I have to say this? But I do. There's our educational policy regarding student cheating and plagiarism and the consequences that you will suffer from them. Never mind me. All test questions and answers are copyrighted. You cannot fake me out by saying, oh, I'm just going to upload these, where I'm going to study them online as flip cards and also make them available to everybody else. No, that's cheating. You can't do that. They're copyright. Can you write them down and use flip cards? You could. Could you put flip cards on your computer? You could. Can you upload it for the world to see and share out? You can't. It's copyrighted material. You're cheating. I will come get you. So don't copy them. Don't upload them to study. Don't sell them to other students. You got to know all that would be cheating, right? Not everybody does. You can't have questions and answers from the tests at the test when you take them. That would be cheating. Submitting false documentation where you want to take an assignment late. You say you were sick. You forge a doctor's excuse, which, by the way, you have forged a professional person's excuse. Never mind me. What about them? Don't do that. It's cheating. Why am I bringing all this up? Because it happens. All right. If you have a disability, verify your eligibility through SAS. They'll send me the document. I'll write back to you and tell you what I'm doing for you. International students for whom English is a second language. How would you like to take this if I was speaking French? What? So I do recognize I talk too fast. There's too much material, and you may not be comfortable with the speed I'm going at. Many American domestic students aren't comfortable with the speed I'm going at. Write me a note for extended time. Once I verify your status as an international student, I'll give you access to the extended time on the tests, mini-tests, midterms, and final. But you've got to email me. I don't know you're out there. Anti-discrimination and anti-harassment policy. As an instructor, one of my responsibilities is to help create a safe learning environment in our class. Kent State and federal Title IX policy prohibits discrimination on the basis of sex, which includes sexual misconduct, sexual harassment, domestic and dating violence, sexual assault, and stalking. Don't do those things either, please. Sexual violence can undermine students' academic success. We encourage students who have had experienced any form of sexual misconduct to talk to someone about their experiences so they can get the support they need. You can speak privately without disclosing your name to the Sexual and Relationship Violence Support Services at that phone number or that email address. Safe Space Allies can be located there, and you can speak confidentially to a psychological services person at 330-672-2487. Don't do those things, and do not tolerate them if they're being done to you. Why do I have to say this stuff? But I do, because there's a bunch of inappropriate folks around. If you're going to graduate, remember to apply. Academic engagement. One of the federal rules that governs our eligibility of students to receive financial aid from us, as well as our eligibility to award and accept that aid, is I have to verify that you begin attendance, are engaged in each course for which you're registered. I've got to report that in. For marketing 25010, the academic engagement, or if you will, attendance verification, whatever you want to call it, is based on your completing mini tests 1 and 2. If you don't complete mini tests 1 and 2, then I have to report you as not engaged, not present. Then they will send you an email, take you out of the course. You'll get a notification of NA or F. It's a mess. Take mini tests 1 and 2, or send me a note and tell me you're out so I know you quit. But just take the test. You'll be fine. This is not web students in particular. This is not independent learning. It's not like go read a book and take these tests. You've got to be engaged in the lectures too. Lectures are created from the in-person class on Mondays and Wednesdays, then uploaded online in both audio and video formats. They're available from Canvas at a click off one of the modules. One of them is closed caption. One of them is a platform-free video player. You should have no problems accessing audio or video versions. If you can't sleep at night, by the way, just download the audio version. It'll help you sleep. All right, so you can always get this stuff. I will send an email after class. It usually takes me a couple hours to get all the stuff put together when it's available. Testing is done online exclusively through Canvas. So you don't actually need the book as you do in some courses. Some courses don't let you take the test unless you bought into the book. Not a problem here. These are available on Canvas. All right. There are 13 weekly mini tests. They're not proctored, but after the first mini test, they do use a lockdown browser to help enhance a little bit academic integrity. The midterms and the final exams are proctored. We use Proctorio, a free online proctoring service. How many people heard the recent court decision going against Cleveland State? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah? Can you yell out sort of what it is?
A student sued the school for them scanning his room when he was taking an exam as an invasive thing.
A student indeed sued Cleveland State for illegal search and seizure because they had scanned his room during a test. He signed up in an online course. He signed up for an online test. He knows he's being proctored, but he sues, and a federal judge says he's right. I, however, have a different solution to that problem, which is this. By taking the test online, you're giving me permission to record you to help reduce cheating. I don't like that. Where's my clapper here? Who was clapping? Okay, I don't like that, by God. I don't want you seeing me in my room and recording me. Fine. Schedule an in-person exam with me and I will proctor your ass right in person. Not a problem. Happy to help. So,
regarding that, if we have testing provisions through SAS, would we be able to do that, the in-person proctor through there?
That I'll work with you on that, but SAS is supposed to help you arrange for that, but they also are overloaded and have too few people. They can't help you? Let me know. I'm willing to work with you.
I just wasn't sure because I thought the proctorio was the only option.
No. Depends on the accommodation one has. Depends on the accommodation. Yeah. So I'll work with you. If you have such an accommodation, write me and let me know. But if I need to send them a paper and pencil test, if that's the need, I can do that.
Okay.
Accessing the course on Canvas, go to kent.com, or more likely get there through Flashline by clicking on the icon there, and this is what our course looks like. When you get inside, you should see the Flashbooks doodah. You can click on that to opt out. Anybody plan to opt out of Flashbooks? You don't want to pay the $87, you don't want the book. Okay, so that's where you would click to tell them, I want out. Okay? So, what else we got? Yeah, that's all good. So once you don't opt out, if you click through McGraw-Hill Connect, you can then follow the process that comes up, and you can actually get out and get to the e-text, get to the sample, which is there right now, enhanced learning extra credit assignment. That's out there. How many people tried that? A couple people have, I know, done the, yeah. So no problems. It takes you through. It's good. So all students in class charge $87. You'll see a Flashbook charge on your bursar bill. Can be included in payment plans, can be paid by financial aid, gives you access to the digital edition of the textbook, and the material you use for the optional enhanced learning extra credit. Those, by the way, add up to 3% of your final course grade. That's almost half a grade. That's not bad. With Flashbooks, you don't have to purchase access codes for this digital content. The digital material is available now. Click on the McGraw-Hill Connect link, register with your KSU ID if it asks for it. What's the deadline? So if you do not want to stay with Flashbooks, you have to opt out by, I guess, 11:59 p.m. on the 31st, which I think is this Wednesday. If then you decide you want back in, you can opt back in by September 12th. If you don't opt out, you can also purchase the physical copy of the book, that loose leaf book from KSU Bookstore for about $30 after they get you set, after the opt-out date. Why? Because for the midterms and the final, 50% of your course grade, You can't access any digital materials. Why not? I can't tell during the test that you're only looking at the book and looking up stuff. You're asking a friend, you're looking at a whole series of cheat site, study sites that I won't mention the name of in case you don't know them. That's just outright cheating. I can't have you doing that. So I lock you down. You have to use the physical book. And I watch you doing other things that you shouldn't be doing. Open books. So those tests are open book and open notes. So you can have the physical book. You can have a physical copy of your notes. Notes you wrote, notes I wrote, I don't care. You just can't go online. The total cost of flashbooks plus the discounted physical book is less than the cost of the book and digital access if you went to their website. So the list price for this stuff is $233.33. This is a deal compared to what you would do full price. Click on the link to opt out. You can choose. It's your grade, it's your money, your education. Don't purchase any book. I don't recommend that, but you can do that. Rent or buy some other edition of the book from another or from another student or an internet site. Probably comes without Connect, that extra credit. Rent or buy the 15 edition from the internet or some other student. Purchase digital access to the current edition directly from McGraw-Hill without access to the optional extra credit. If you're going to look for the book online, you can look for those ISBNs. In my opinion, and the opinion of many but not all students, you want a physical copy of the book. If you want to earn extra credit but you opt out of flashbooks, you can do a silly thing and go back and purchase McGraw-Hill Connect. That's silly. You can go to PackBack as an alternative way to earn extra credit. Details in the extra credit module on Canvas. I haven't paused for breath in a long time. Questions? I should ask. You guys have any questions in there? Web students? I can't hear you. In-person students, questions? Hello. For the mini tests, there's no proctoring.
Okay.
The mini tests are these 13 weekly tests. They're these sort of like homework. You're going to take them during 13 times during the semester from your own computer on your own.
Okay, listen, I know that the exams are open book, open note, but is that the same with the mini tests?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Open book, open notes, and we'll get to that. But thanks for asking.
So for the extra credit, that is, you can access it through the flashbooks thing?
To get to the extra credit, one of two ways. If you stay with flashbooks, you can go through Connect, McGraw-Hill, and there'll be it'll be in the module there. Or if not, you can get there through PackBack.
Okay.
Anybody else? Other questions? Oh, sure, you think it's funny. What do you do that? At my age. So I don't know, homepage, if you've been there, you have the Start Here module, the syllabus. Syllabus is always available online. Sometimes they have to revise something, so the revision is online at the syllabus link. Course testing material has information about it in the module that says about course testing material. It's going to give you the details on the mini test schedule, the schedule for the midterms, final exam, and something called a grade calculator. How many people get confused about their assignments and they have five courses and they aren't sure when things are due? I don't believe that's only that many people, but okay. It's all there now for this class. Write it down. And your whatever you keep, write it down. Because it's all there. Learning materials module, where you can find your course learning materials. The lecture notes are there now. The online lectures, there's a link there to a sample lecture. The housekeeping slides aren't there yet because they just started today. And I'll put up those housekeeping slides in the learning materials module for you to go back over if you missed something. Grades. So in order to figure out are you a standard time or an extended time student, click on grades and you'll see this information. By the way, the one thing I don't like about Canvas is the way the grade book works. I think the best way to arrange your grade books for this class is by assignment group. It's a downward, it's a click on a downward arrow. Click apply. I think that's the best way to see the stuff. Right now, it's not complicated. Later on, it is. So for this person, you see they have a score of 1 out of 1 on standard time code, the ungraded assignment. So they're a standard student. They're going to have standard time for these tests coming up that I'm going to talk about. Extended time students won't have a score there. They have a score which says extended time student, all right? So that's how you know what type of student you are. Let me know if your score doesn't match what you are. We're back on the home page. What am I showing you here? So you might want to check the introductions if you haven't done so. You can check the introductions to Canvas if you want. You can start here. What else we got? Check the syllabus, of course. There is a syllabus. That's what it looks like. Go out to the modules. Here's the Start Here module with all the information we've talked about. The early welcome, the course objectives, a to-do list before and during the class, information on Flashbooks, what you get with it, how to access it, how to opt out of it, and how to get other books. There's the fall tentative class schedule. And we do recognize, this was interesting to me. Is anybody here a freshman? Or, you know, first year here? Sometimes you get people that are coming in right out of, you know, they have a lot of credits, they're here. We've heard from the bigger freshman class, they're actually stressed by being among so many people after being away from people for 2 years. They're getting freaked out. So we know that people are stressed for a variety of reasons right now, including that one. There's lots of personal help here at Kent, and I have a list of some pretty good resources. If you're feeling stressed personally, emotionally, sexual harassmently, financially, maybe click on that for some information on how to get help. Seek help if you need it. So inbox, check your Canvas inbox, check your KSU inbox. How many people have already seen too many emails from me already? Only one person, two people. You're not checking your email if you haven't seen too many already. You'll see a lot more. I write to you a lot. Here's the about course testing material. Here's information about the 13 mini tests. Here's the schedule for the mini tests and the exam. The grade calculator right now, grades are simple, but by the time we have different weights for 13 mini tests, two midterms and a final, gets hard to calculate, so you can use that to download and fill in your grades. The lecture notes, we already talked about several times. Housekeeping slides, we talked about. Lectures, click there. So, where are these mini tests of which I speak? They are here either in the module called Exams for Standard Time Students or Exams for Extended Time Students. You can see how Extended Time Students is grayed out, because here I'm a standard time student, right? So I only have access to one of the two, as you will. As soon as a weekly mini test closes for a grade, it opens the test pool for review. You can go back and review the pool, which is massive, of test questions as many times as you want. And each time you go back, it gives you a new draw of questions. Hypothetically, it would take a lot of clicks, you can see every question in the test bank, which, by the way, is why you can't copy and upload test questions. But you could study them repetitively until you knew everything. Wouldn't you care that they could learn all the material from the test questions? Let me say, if you've learned 1,000 test questions and the material, you pretty much know the course. I'm not concerned. But it's a resource for you to help you study. What do you know? Boom, boom, I know those. What is this? I don't know. Go back and study. Try it again. Review tests. Extra credit is out there in the extra credit module as well. Point, stay in touch with the material. There's the class website. So grading, what's the grading about? Well, KSU policy is midterm grades have to be submitted for this course. We'll submit a midterm grade for you based on the first 5 mini tests. That's about 19% of your final course grade. The final course grade itself is based on those 13 mini tests I keep talking about, 50% of your grade. Open book, open notes, unproctored at home from your own computer. 2 midterms exams, 17% of your grade, proctored. Open book, open notes at home. I'll be watching. And a final exam, 16% of your course grade, same dealio, at home, proctored. And then extra credit from either Enhanced Learning McGraw-Hill Connect or PacPac. That's your course grade. How do a grade split out? 92.6 is an A. 92.5 and lower is an A minus. So those are the cut points. So we do use the plus minus system. Okay. If you're anybody a marketing major, hope for marketing majors, okay? You've got to earn a C. C minus isn't a C. You've got to earn a 2.0 or better, please. But if you earn that, It's not going to meet the College of Business requirement. All right. This is tricky for students, and I don't know why. You get the grade that you earn. And apparently this isn't a common thing among other classes, other professors, or other experiences you've had. You get the grade that you earn. I don't make adjustments for you really, really, really needing a better grade. Because you can lose your scholarship. Because they're, whatever. Or you're only being 0.3, 0.2, or 0.1 way away from the next grade. Or for any other reason, unless I screw up. And by the way, I've been known to screw up. If I have an error in your grade calculation, boom, tell me about it, you got it, fixed. But if you didn't earn the grade you want, asking, pleading, crying, and or offering bribes, unless one of your parents is a billionaire, come see me, don't work, okay? And I guarantee you somebody's going to be pleading with me come the end of the semester about 0.3, 0.2, 0.1, and them really needing the grade. Earn it. Take it seriously. No extra work, no additional chances, no grade changes. Figure out what you want and earn that grade. And by the way, that should make you feel good because everybody else in the course is earning the grade that they get. The way to calculate your grade is the total of all mini test scores. And if you missed one, it counts for what would you imagine? How much would you imagine it counts for if you missed it? Zero. You got to put that in the calculation. Okay, all mini test scores divided by 13. Times 0.5, they count for 50% of your grade. The midterm 1, it'll be curved, so the curved midterm 1 grade, times 0.17, midterm 2 curved grade, times 0.17, final exam curved score times 0.16, plus any extra credit, add it up, that's your grade. Whatever the 0.7, 0.2, point whatever it is, whatever that number is, you got it. Missed mini test counts as 0. We don't drop any grades. Everything counts. Don't do something silly like adding up your total points and dividing by 16 or whatever you might do. None of that's correct. That's the way to do it. This is too much information, but it does show you how you would calculate a grade. If you want to follow your grades as they happen, go to the module, download the grade calculator. It's a spreadsheet. Just plug in the numbers you're earning, and you will see the grade that you get are getting. That's the grade calculator. You need to watch for the deadlines, although I will send you reminders. All of our assignments are open for multiple days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, usually 4 or 5 days. So I'm not really amenable to, oops, can I have more time? They've been open for 5 days. Well, I went out of town. You went out of town for 5 days in the middle of the semester and couldn't get to my material? So pay attention to the deadlines. They're open for a long time. You have COVID? Boom, you got it. You're in jail? Okay, fine. It happens. Once an assignment closes, it's rare to be open. Once we get to finals, everything's closed. They close when they close. So do them before their deadlines. No changes, I already said that. So about these mini tests I keep talking about, there are 13 mini tests. They are 10 question multiple choice exams. They're timed. Gee, that's not enough time to look up all of the answers to your 10 questions. It's not supposed to be enough time to look at all that. You're supposed to have studied the material, know 5 or 7 of them, and then you look up the remaining stuff. Now it's enough time. 30 minutes for, 15 minutes for standard time students, 30 minutes for extended time students. Questions are randomly drawn from a pool of questions that cover the previous lecture's content, both in class and textbook. So the questions cover both the textbook and the lecture material, including for the mini test, business and marketing of the news. So here's the lecture material, here's the textbook material. What am I trying to show you? Well, I'm trying to show you that there's lecture material that is not in the textbook. I'm not just lecturing the textbook to you. In fact, sometimes I disagree with the textbook. I'm allowed to do that. And there's textbook material that's not in the lecture. Duh. Otherwise, I'd just be lecturing the lecture. And there's an overlap between the two. If you got a sense of me about, what am I going to say? Well, I think what I'm going to ask is, if you got a sense of me so far, what do you suppose I'm going to test on? Well, guess what am I going to test on? I'm going to test on lecture. You don't have a good sense of me yet. Textbook. You don't have a good sense of me yet. Lecture and textbook. There we go. So in each of these mini tests, and I do make sure it's true, but when there's overlap of content, sometimes it's hard to tell. But I promise you, 44 out of 10 questions, 40% are from my lectures. 60%, therefore, are from the textbook. It's all testable material. I can't believe I have to both come to lecture and read the textbook. This is crazy. Is it? Open book, open notes, unproctored, and after the first mini test, the browser lockdown will be there to reduce bad activity, usually available for at least 5 days after the material has been presented. You can take each of these mini tests 5 times. Each time it's a new random draw of questions. You don't see the same test each time. So don't do what students do. You took it twice and you stop with a 40%. Occasionally I even write you and I say, hey Jack, what you doing here, buddy? You took it 2 times. You stop with a 40. You want to try to improve it? Then people get mad at me. Why am I telling them they should do better? Well, I don't know. It's sort of my job. Highest score is the one that counts of those 5 attempts. Not first, not last, not average. The high score. You're probably saying to yourself, I bet everybody gets an A in this class. 5 attempts? 5 days? High score? It's not the case. There are no makeups for the mini tests unless you are truly incapacitated and can document it. Write the deadlines in your planner now so you don't forget about them, because they've been open for 5 days and now you want an extension. Not so good. And don't wait till last minute when you find out that you were out of town and couldn't take the test. Don't forget them. You can mess around. There's a sample mini test out there now. Anybody already take the sample mini test? It's pretty straightforward. Nobody? All right. Well, it's out there. So what do people say about this class? opinions are variable. Awesome teacher, makes you work a lot for your grade, but overall great class, learned a lot. Thank you. Offers extra credit, lectures are interesting and helpful, gives every opportunity to earn an A. You just need to put in the work, do the work, put in the time and effort, study before all quizzes and tests, and you will excel. Highly recommend. Dr. Marks is a true Kent State asset. Not everyone agrees with that, by the way, but aw, shucks, thanks. Took courses online, and with the fall video lectures were extremely easy to view. Many tests were not hard at all. Professors very responsive to email. Print out the course notes, the lecture notes, and they'll help you so much and help you to write so much less while still learning information and making a study guide for the exam. Marx's class is harder than most marketing classes, and you need to put in the effort. Reading the book is a must, and if you don't normally read the textbook, you're going to get half the test wrong. His tests are based on half textbook and half lecture. Well, 60-40, but that's, you get the point. If you'd rather be lazy, not take notes, and study the bare minimum, you're not going to do well. If you actually care to learn and understand, then Dr. Marks is a phenomenal teacher. You get what you put in. Those who are not willing to earn a high grade should drop, well, or at least the grade you need. I don't know what you need. Those who actually enjoy learning, I highly recommend it. Hard, pay attention, go to class, study weeks before the exams, follow the directions very closely. What a waste of time. You have to bury your face in the textbook, in the notes, attend every class every day. This is no easy A. Well, you know what? Guilty as charged. I admit it. It's not supposed to be. Now, if you don't do well in the first few mini tests, this is not rocket physics, science, medical, chemistry, calculus. This is just studying a bunch of material, highlighting it, going back over it and be ready for a test. But if you aren't doing well on the first mini test, you're probably not putting enough effort into the material. It does require your attention and studying. It's not magical. Just having the book doesn't mean you've looked at the book. Looking at the book doesn't mean you've studied the book. Because this class is convenient, there's a temptation to take shortcuts. Don't do it. The class is intended to be convenient. The videos, 24/7 from this evening onward. 5 attempts. Open 5 days. But don't be confused, it's not that easy. Rule of thumb, as you know, you're supposed to spend 2 to 3 hours outside of class preparing for every hour in class, so you should be spending 6 hours each week on Marketing 25010 in addition to the lectures. What should you be doing? Read the material, highlight the material, study the material, review the material, stuff you should do for a college class. C-level work, It is easy to get behind if you don't pay attention to your schedule. Don't forget to take the test before their deadline. Midterm exam, each worth 17%, taken using Proctorio. Midterm exams are 50 questions. They are timed to 80 minutes as standard time, 160 minutes as extended time. The questions are randomly drawn from the same pool of questions used for the mini tests. But no marketing of the news or business of the news, just content. Students will write me and say, well, I didn't see a single question from my mini-test on the midterm. It's a big pool of questions. It's drawn randomly from the big pool. Go use the review test, maybe you'll see some. But saying you didn't see it in your mini-test, probably not. Big pool. Midterm 1 covers lectures 1 to 10, mini-test 1 to 5. It's available beginning Saturday, 10-8 at 8 a.m. through Proctorio. Closes Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Take notes of the dates. Midterm 2, lectures 11 to 20, mini-test 6 to 10. Available from 8 on Saturday, November 12th to Tuesday, 11:15, with the last login at 5 p.m. Take notes of the deadline of the dates of deadlines. You'll use Proctorio for the midterm exams and the final exam. You can get permission by doing that to be recorded so that I am reducing cheating. If you don't want to do that, contact me in advance, not the last day that you need in person. I'll work with you, but let's be reasonable. You have to show a picture ID during these exams, your driver's license, passport, KSUID, and make sure you're taking the right test, standard or extended. Open book, open notes. If you're an international student, you may use a physical copy of a translation dictionary. Can't be sitting there poking around on some electronic translator because I can't really tell what you're doing. Could be cheating. But I'll let you look up words because I have big words. Cannot use any electronic devices. Can't use cell phones, computers, phone a friend, etc. Can't have any windows open in your computer other than the exam. Excuse me. So you can't make use of an e-book for the midterm or the final. You need the physical book. If you've taken notes on your computer, great for you, but you need to print them out if you want to use them in the midterms and the final, because you can't use them during the test if they're digital. Can't have many test questions anyhow. It's cheating. Final exam, 16%, covers all the material from lecture 21 until the end of whatever that says. I don't know what that says. Covers, well, anyhow, many tests, something screwed up there. Covers the rest of the course material after the midterm two. Something's up there wrong. And available during finals week between Monday and Thursday. Last long on 5 p.m. Same format as everything else. Same thing. Same thing. Same thing. How do students do in this nutty course? Well, not too bad. Typically, between 20 and 30% earn an A. This is a math section. How many of you guys don't really care about marking at all? Don't care? Oh, come on. Really? One person. I don't believe that a bit. How many of you guys don't especially care about business at all? Okay, more people don't care about business and don't care about marketing. My point is, we have a mass section of, whatever I said, 600 students. Some don't care about marketing. Some don't care about business. And by the way, a few don't care about being in school. And so, getting between 20 and 30% of A's in this mass class, not too bad. B's, that's B plus, B, B minus, looks like about 30%. C's, looks like generally in the mid-20s. D's. 9, 10, 11%. And I don't know. You have to work to get an F in the course. 5 attempts. Keep your high score. You just have to not be trying. But regularly, we get a fair number of people not trying. Overall, because we have masses of students, the class average is always right around 79 to 81. So around 79 or 80%. That's not bad in a math course like this. But you do have to do some work. So to succeed, take the mini-test early, don't wait until the last minute. Retake them until you've earned 100%, for example. Return to the material by using the review test that I've talked about. If you do that, by the time the midterms and finals are given, the material and the questions should be very familiar to you because you've taken the review test a bunch of times. Flashes. Safe 8, stay up to date. We talked about being engaged, mini-test 1 and 2. Participation in person or via email if you have questions. Some people are disturbed by loud noises of the by flashing lights. I think one of these does one of those things. Hold on here. Oh, maybe I took it away. Yeah, that was a buzzer beeper thing. Never mind. Distractions, electronics. You can't have cell phones out during the class or when you view the online lectures. I'm not really going to police that, but you think you can do two things at once and you can't. Fine, it's your course. I don't care. Watch cats dancing. Your score. I don't care. Harassment is not tolerated, although I do harass a little bit, but don't harass each other. Check the campus site to keep up. Ask questions when you don't understand something. And I just talk and talk. You've noticed that? I just talk. So throw something at me. Well, at least wave your hand or have somebody else wave their hand for me to stop. By the way, any questions? How's that? I stop. Questions, questions, questions. I don't have to stop. Everybody knows what's going on. Or they fell asleep. Be polite. international students, let me know if you need extra credit. Especially in the winter, sometimes the university cancels classes, right? Due to snow? Anybody remember? Who was here in the last spring and the first day was a snow day? If classes are closed, if I can get to a computer, there'll still be a lecture, and I will still put it online, and you're still responsible for it. So it's got to be a true disaster for there to be no lecture up. But I'll let you know via email. Write me, again, not from Hot Boy, Hot Girl, but from your Kent email address so I know it's you. And on the subject, I have a lot of email coming in as you do. Start with marketing 25010, something like marketing 25010, question about mini test one. It's more likely to, for me to notice it and less likely to go to junk mail. Phone messages, not official, because I really can't verify the messages from you, and we get all this FERPA stuff, so email is probably the best way, but I will talk to you or video you if you want. We've talked in passing about the enhanced earning extra credit through McGraw-Hill Connect. For these, you get 10 weeks of these, up to 3% for each week, so you get up to 0.3% for each week, so you get 3% added to, up to 3% added to your final course grade. That's gravy. And you get 3 attempts. And I keep the high score. People must get higher than an A in this course. All right, so if you want to do that, do that. If you want to see how it works for PacPac, go to the extra credit module and click on that. Post one interesting question related to course material during the time period it's open. Respond insightfully to 2 posted questions, 0.1 each, so that's 0.3%. And that, over 10 attempts, can add up to 3% to your final course grade. So easy. How's anybody do that? Occasionally during the semester, researchers need your help. We'll give extra credit for helping them out. All right, so here we are today. Monday, lecture one, we're in introduction, which is what we're doing now, and creating customer relationships and value, chapter one. We'll see if we get there. Next Monday, well, there's a class on Wednesday. Next Monday, Labor Day, and so on through the semester. Midterm one, midterm two, break, final exam. Yep.
I was going to say it's 4:48 right now.
What's your point?
You were saying if we were going to get the lecture line. I said,
Well, you never, know. Well, at, I'm here till 5 p.m.
Yeah.
At 5 p.m., I will stop. Yeah. Wherever I am, that's when I'll stop. Here is the preliminary mini test and exam schedule. So again, you want to know, take note of when those are. And this is on the Canvas site, in the lecture notes, in the syllabus, etc. And here's the schedule for those 10 extra credit opportunities, which we've talked a lot about. Yeah? A number of years ago, when I put the course together, I went out and interviewed KSU alumni, and some of them are phoning me right now because they want to be involved. KSU alumni and business people, and to ask them open-ended freeform to talk about marketing topics. Recorded them and brought them into the classroom. So these are our video guest lectures. So it's other people talking about the course-related material. It shows a bit about where you can go from this classroom, as some of these people did, or at least from our course. It shows real-world views of classroom concepts. Everything I talk about here is real-world stuff. Sometimes it doesn't sound like it, but it's happening. Here's a list of those guest lectures. Title and organization to come. So we should be on lecture notes page 20. Let's hear from these 11 people, hopefully before 5 p.m.
My name is Valerie Twing. I graduated from Kent State University in 1995 with a Bachelor of Business Administration degree. Currently, I am the director of the business office for a small consulting firm in Washington, D.C. that does government contracting and consulting.
My name is Tim Apel. I am currently the president of AAA Homes in Ravenna. My background is I went to Kent, and I earned my bachelor's in accounting, and then went right back and got my MBA from Kent as well. I'm from Kent, so it was kind of natural that I stayed there. Worked in public accounting for a couple years, and in probably about 94, I've come here, and I've been here ever since.
My name is Don Kosak. I earned my master's degree in business administration from Kent State University back in 1992. Currently, I am the Vice President for Business Services for Time Warner Cable Business Services in Akron, Ohio.
Hello, my name is Rob Felber. I earned a Bachelor of Science in Education from Kent State University way back in something that you may have heard of called the 80s. And currently, I am President of Felber and Felber Marketing and where, as you may see, from time to time I have various roles.
Hi, I'm Fred Hunt. I have 2 degrees, an international business degree from Texas Tech University, as well as an MBA from Oklahoma City University. Presently, I am director of marketing for the Sherwin-Williams Company here in Cleveland.
My name's Dan Muller, and I've earned an undergraduate degree from Kent State in 1979 in computer science and operations research, double major, and then also got an MBA from Kent in 1991. And currently, I'm the president of distribution services for the Timken Company, which is headquartered in Canton, Ohio, Fortune 500 company.
Hi, my name is Michelle Skin. I am the director of the Fisher Titus Foundation. I received my Bachelor's of Business Administration from Kent State University with a major in marketing in 1980, and happy to be here.
My name is Gary Trinetti, and I earned a Bachelor of Business Administration, emphasis on marketing, from Kent State University. Graduated in 1976 from the university. Currently, I am the CEO president of a company called Garrick, which, interesting enough, was started with my partner, who was also a Kent State graduate in 76, and we started the company in 1980.
Hi, my name is Jim Wise, and I earned my degree at Kent State back in 89. I was a graduate with a degree in marketing. And I am currently now a general manager, vice president of a local car dealership, Don Joseph Toyota, here in Kent. And I have been there for 22 years now. And it's been a very interesting and fulfilling job, that's for sure. Larry, I actually had you in as a marketing professor. I was a student in a large setting classroom back in the early 80s. I remember it well. It was actually one of my favorite classes. That's what actually got me into marketing to do what I'm doing today.
Hey, my name is Shane Detka. Born and raised in New Jersey. Got a degree in business management with a concentration in accounting to be an accountant. I was an accountant for about 5 years doing actual accounting, debits and credits. I ended up finding that I was very interested in marketing just because I had kind of an entrepreneurial bug. Ended up starting a bow tie company and having to market it to sell bow ties. I created a blog to attract customers through Google search, right? And then I got really good at that, and then actually pivoted away from bow ties to being an affiliate. Instead of selling my own products as an e-commerce store, I sold someone else's products as an affiliate in the pest control niche. So I would partner up with Amazon or other people who sell stuff and sell their stuff for a commission as in pest control. After that, I did that for about a year, 2 years, ended up selling that part of my business, and then I joined up most recently as a director of SEO with a company called 3Ships, which specializes in affiliate marketing for big brands like Terminix, big like home warranty companies, Orkin, another one. So very big companies that are looking to grow through affiliate marketing.
My name is Patrick Gorgon. I am a sales associate at Protege. I am an alumnus of University of Missouri, otherwise known as Mizzou. And I have a Bachelor's of Science in Business Administration with a minor in Entrepreneurship. I do sales for Protege. I operate on the market research arm of our business. And I am, prospecting. I manage the full sales cycle. So prospecting, finding new potential clients, managing the outreach process, and then working with them to facilitate their research projects.
So as you can see, we have all different kinds of people here. They're going to be talking about working. I will keep you only till 5 o'clock. So if you can bear with me, I watch my clock. If yours says 5, let me know. All right, so what do we see here? We see Valerie Twing. She's doing business-to-business and services to the government. Tim Appel is a family entrepreneur. Any entrepreneurs here? Entrepreneurial types? 1, 2, all right. He's a family entrepreneur, B2C for a product. Don Kosak, of course, it's now Spectrum and maybe Charter. But business-to-business service. Rob Felver, an entrepreneur in the B2B service area. Fred Hunt, he does the business-to-business side of paint marketing. Dan Muller, business-to-business and industrial product. Michelle Skin, not-for-profit foundation, service marketing. Gary Trinetti, an entrepreneur B2C product, Jim Weiss, retail franchise, Shane Dutka, direct-to-consumer service, and Patrick Gorgon, doing research for B2B. So these are the types of folks that engage in marketing and that you'll be hearing from during the semester. All right, obviously, I could push our last, I feel like I should, 4 minutes into chapter one, but I won't. I'll let you go. So don't say I didn't do anything for you. 4 minutes, your time, I'm giving to you. Okay, so see you on Wednesday.